Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. Here at newsounds.org, we still can't have live guests in our studios, so for these Soundcheck podcasts, we're doing a mix of remote performances and some memorable sessions from our archives. This is one of the latter. And for this one, we take you back to 2017. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Reverend Osagyefo Sekou draws from a deep well of American music on his new album called In Times Like These, blues and gospel specifically. Now, if you're thinking that those are musical holdovers from another time, Reverend Sekou wants you to know that that music has become powerful and relevant again in times like these. The album features Luther and Cody Dickinson of the North Mississippi All-Stars. Today, he's brought his own band, the Seal Breakers, to our studio to perform some songs for us. This first one has a simple but timely title, Resist.
Greetings, Brother John. As you said, my name is Reverend Sekou, and these are the Seal Breakers. And you have to excuse us, Radio Land, where our spirits are a little troubled. Jordan Edwards' mother down in Texas is preparing to lay her baby to rest. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so, Radio Land, we want to know, do you want to be free? Somebody say yeah. We want freedom, and we want it now. We want freedom, and we want it now. We want freedom, and we want it now. Hey! Started up in here. Hey. Hey. Let's go. Hey. Resist. Resist when they try and tell you what you can and can't do. Resist. When they say what you don't know, tell them to go back to school. Resist, resist when they try and tell you who is and ain't your neighbor. Resist when they won't pay you and exploit your labor. Tell you that the love of money's your only goal. cause you don't wanna gain the world and lose your soul.
That is Reverend Sekou and his band, The Seal Breakers, live here in the Soundcheck studio in a song called Resist. Sekou, that's pretty amazing stuff. Everything about that is so American, the sound and the message, and the way that you're kind of like pacing the studio like a caged tiger. This is great stuff.
Well, thank you.
So on the record, this song begins with you delivering a kind of impassioned bit of preaching. Tell us the circumstances under which that recording was made.
Well, it was during the Ferguson Uprising, particularly during an event that was coordinated by local and national organizers called Ferguson October, where organizers came around the country and engaged in educational, political education, and a variety of activities, including civil disobedience, where we were a number of clergy were arrested. Mm-hmm.
Yourself included.
Yes, in a way to raise the contradiction of American democracy as it relates to police brutality. And that speech is delivered at the Ferguson October rally, in which there were several thousand people from around the country who came to stand in solidarity with the struggle there.
And then today, you kick off the same song with a reference to the latest in the sad, sad list of this sort of thing happening.
Jordan
Edwards.
His mother is raising money to put her baby in the ground. She probably should be picking him up. His parents should probably be picking him up from a sporting event or telling him what chores to do, but rather she's picking out the suit that he'll wear as he's laid to rest.
15 years old.
Yes.
It can be very difficult, I would think. It's difficult for me. I'm not even in the community to kind of look at this problem and not get depressed about it, you know, to keep your spirits up. And yet that song is all about elevating the spirit and about, you know, empowering a community.
Well, I would want to beg to differ that the characterization of you not being in a community in terms of that your moral and ethical and spiritual salvation depends upon the nature of the democracy and its capacity to protect all children. and that our salvation, in terms of not necessarily connected to a holy other, but the very feature of a democracy, this precious experiment, one of the first attempts in human history of a multiracial democracy, that so as a white brother and as a black man, we are mutually bound together, and that every time a black child is murdered, that your soul is diminished as well.
Absolutely.
And so I think part of what the music is an attempt to do is that, you know, so most of these folks, they play in and out of Pentecostal churches.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in the blues tradition. And that's a part of being black in America is the capacity is to have the blues, but not let the blues have the last word.
Yeah,
so you acknowledge them, you tell the truth about them. So it's that kind of capacity of when the slave says, sometimes I feel like a motherless child, and then the next verse is glory, hallelujah. Or how we talk about in religious terms, Jesus is a bright and morning star. It's acknowledging the darkness, because you can't see the stars without the darkness, but acknowledging also that there's always glimmers of hope and glimmers of light. And so for me, the music provides a context for a kind of joy, a revolutionary joy that allows us in the midst of the darkness to find a way to sing our way out.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, there are these kind of two parallel great African-American traditions of the blues and the African-American church.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been parts of our history where those two kind of looked askance at each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the church thought that was kind of the devil's music. Clearly, for you, you've grown up in both traditions.
Yes.
And they go hand in glove.
Well, I think that, you know, I think also part of the reality is that that was usually a debate among elites in terms of leadership. Now, in the context of the community, Tommy Dorsey, who wrote Precious Lord, was also a blues man.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when he played Precious Lord the first time in the church, they ran him out because they said it sounded too much like a blues.
Just to be clear, you're not talking about Tommy Dorsey, the big band leader.
Tommy Dorsey, the gospel writer.
Yeah.
He played piano.
Yeah.
In Chicago. And so he, I'm checking with my music historian, Craig Williams, who runs the Seal Breakers. And so our musical tradition has always blended in and out. Musicians have always floated in and out of what they would call secular and sacred spaces. But the reality is that what Durkheim calls collective effervescence, when people gather together and struggle in such a way, something happens. And so that can happen in the sanctuary, that can happen on the dance floor. And for us in Ferguson, it often happened in the street.
Mm-hmm. So the juke joint on a Saturday night and the church on Sunday morning were both about community.
And about joy.
Yeah.
About trying to shake off some of the demons of the day.
So now, what is your family background? Did you grow up in a family of musicians? Was it a family of preachers?
Mm.
How does a boy from Arkansas come by the West African name of Sekou?
So I was actually in relationship with and organized and mentored by Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture. So my name comes from that relationship as an attempt to reclaim a part of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a child of SNCC, and so I was blessed to be trained, mentored, and spend time with folks from the Highlander Center. In Arkansas, I was trained in classical music by my grandmother, ensured that I had private lessons. I actually went to college on a vocal performing scholarship at a small historically black college, Knoxville College in Knoxville, Tennessee. I sang in bands in college, and I'm a black preacher, so in part of the requirement is to be able to sing a little bit. And so I sang
more than a little, I would think.
I sang a little bit. I've sung at protest and before lectures because I believe in music as medicine, as the capacity to heal. And then my biological grandfather, Richard Breslman, was a sideman for Louis Jordan, as well as Albert King and B.B. King. The part of Arkansas I'm from, in Arkansas Delta, which is one of the most densely populated concentrations of African Americans in the South, was also a hotbed for Arkansas Delta blues. So I grew up hearing the music at my uncle's gambling house. We played it at family gatherings, as well as singing the gospel. And then the grandfather who raised me, a man named Elder James Thomas, was an elder in the Church of God in Christ.
Hmm.
And so I grew up in a Pentecostal church, going to church, and then in the evenings, I'd go count the money at my uncle's gambling house.
Wow. So when I asked you if you grew up in a family of musicians or a family of preachers, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're speaking with Reverend Sekou. He's got the Seal Breakers here. What a an apocalyptic name for a band, the Seal Breakers.
Yeah, you know, Pentecostals, we tend toward both the apocalyptic and the redemptive.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that particular story that it comes out of in the biblical narrative in which Brother Craig and these musicians came up with the name is that it's actually a cry for help. And it says, who's going to break these ancient seals to tell us the stories of life? And the text responds to itself in a kind of literary formation. It signifies to itself saying that there is one who was slain who is worthy. And so this peasant who defeated the empire is worthy to open up the stories that tell us about the stories of life. It's very much like the music itself. I think The Russians have a wonderful word, trachomic, describes it. Both tragedy and comedy existing at the same time.
Okay. Well, the song you're going to do next for us called Loving You Is Killing Me, that's kind of a tragicomic
yes.
idea.
Yes.
Is this more of a secular song, would you say?
I want to disrupt the categories that in terms of that, you know, folks go to church after they have their heart broken.
Yeah.
And at the same time, while it can be read as a story about breaking up with a loved one, but it also is in part a song about our nation and that when we see over and over again, our nation continues to betray the best of the values that it has articulated throughout the world. And so it is in part a love song to the nation.
All right. Let's hear it. Live performance from Reverend Sekou and the Seal Breakers here in the Soundcheck studio. Sekou's new album is called In Times Like These. Sekou and the Seal Breakers are here with us on Soundcheck. This song is called Loving You Is Killing Me.
If love is a language you don't know how to spell, if love is a story you don't have one to tell, you broke my heart with the words you saved, not broken promises but the ones you never made. Cause loving you is killing me. Oh, loving you is killing me. We said to death do us part, you gon' be the death of me. Barely holding on to my sanity, so I stopped by here to grab a few of my things and I'll get the rest by the weekend. Cause loving you is killing me. Is killing me.
That is Reverend Sekou and the Seal Breakers, live in the Soundcheck studio. The song is Lovin' You Is Killin' Me. Let me introduce you to the Seal Breakers. We met Reverend Sekou, of course, on lead vocals, but Reina Sokolov-Gonzalez and Mattia Washington on backing vocals. Gypsy playing the guitar. Will Gamble enjoying our Steinway over there. Reggie Parker on bass. James Robinson Jr. behind the drum kit. Marion Ross playing trumpet. And Berhani Woldu playing the saxophone. So, Sekou, these are the Seal Breakers.
Yes.
They're based here in New York, in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And you are in St. Louis
yes.
these days.
Yeah, airports mostly, but...
I was going to say, a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Yes, yeah.
So the album, called In Times Like These, is full of real-life sounds. In addition to the preaching that we talked about before the song Resist, there's dogs barking, barnyard sounds, what sounds like a chain gang at
yes.
work. What was the thought in weaving all of that in?
Well, we were blessed. The folks at 30 Tigers, particularly Brother David, Sister Cheryl, and
30 Tigers being the record label.
The distributor. And Sister Nancy all worked really hard to kind of craft a formation that would render a particular kind of sound. So we wound up in Coldwater, Mississippi, in a barn that was started by the late Jim Dickinson, Luther and Cody's father. They went and got Charles Hodges, who's played on 25 gold and platinum records on the organ, who was extremely patient with me in the studio. And then A.J. Gent, who is probably the greatest steel guitarist of his generation. His grandfather introduced the steel guitar and a particular rhythm of the steel guitar to their denomination. And then Brother Art and Brother Mark, who play with the Allman Brothers, tour with them, are on the horns. And then Raina's actually singing background vocals. She's mm-hmm. Featured on the song 99 and a half.
Right. Going 90, for 100, 99
yeah,
and a half won't do.
Yeah. Old hymn. And so we're recording in a barn, so the house that I stayed in Memphis had railroad tracks that ran all night. And then in Coldwater, we would hear dogs barking in the distance, and it was backwoods. You had to hold your phone up in the air to try to get signal and that
range
kind of
finding,
thing.
Yeah.
And so part of it was trying to capture the experience of recording the album, which was recorded, the rhythm section and the lead vocals were recorded live. In fact, Lovin' You was done in one take.
Wow.
I wrote the song that morning, so 30 minutes it was done.
Yeah. Now, in addition to writing songs, you are a preacher. Presumably you're writing homilies as well.
Yes.
You're an activist, so you're writing speeches. You've written a couple of monographs, for lack of a better word.
I just signed a book deal with Chalice Press, one of the country's most progressive Christian publications. And so we are actually re-releasing two of my books, Urban Souls and God's Gaze and Guns. And then I'm doing a text with them based on my essay and lecture called The Task of the Artist in the Time of Monsters, and then a book on King, and then another book called The Liberation Theology of Ferguson. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be publishing a number of texts with them over the next 18 months.
And does this all come from the same creative impulse, do you think?
I mean, it could be. I just have a limited skill set. You know,
really?
I sing a little bit, I write a little bit, and I talk a little bit.
And you made a little film.
Yes, I did. I have a film called...
It doesn't sound like a very restrictive skill set to me.
I have a film called Exiles in the Promised Land that was accepted to the Amnesty International Human Rights Film and Art Festival a number of years ago. It was based on a lecture that I gave in Beirut, Lebanon, after visiting Shatila and Sabria during the anniversary of the massacres there. So, yeah, that's there.
Yeah. You use the word, the phrase, progressive Christian.
Yeah.
You are a progressive Christian. You've been very vocal in your support of gay rights, and you've even kind of come out and said, I may find trouble in my own church for saying this.
Yeah.
Have you found trouble in your own church?
You know, not yet, but since you said it on radio with presumably several million listeners, I might be. But you know something, dear brother, I'm of the general opinion of this, is that I learned from the black church that when poor people were catching hell, I had to show up. And that in New York City, when I pastored and served in this town, you know, there are like 5,000 homeless queer kids in this community, many of them who wind up in the sex trade, many of them put out of really religious houses. And so I felt a pastoral obligation to love, care, and to serve them in that way. And I also have a strong libertarian streak, you know, leave people alone. Because if you start curving people's rights, eventually you're going to come for mine.
Yep.
And so I grew up in a tradition that taught me to love people and to care for folks. And I actually, even though I use the terms progressive, I was blessed to study for a brief while with the great James Cone, the father of Black liberation theology at Union Theological Seminary. And that even though I was raised and trained in part in these traditions, I actually would argue that this is the heart of the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. That I would make the argument that it is, at one level, a biblical orthodoxy to be concerned about the poor and to put our lives on the line for the most vulnerable. And so while I accept, participate, part of those traditions, I actually would say that that is the heart of the gospel and that everything else is heresy.
Well said. You know, you see occasionally these bumper stickers and signs say Jesus was a progressive, Jesus was a liberal. You know, and when you think about it,
I wouldn't say Jesus was a liberal. I would say he was a revolutionary.
Yeah. I'm just repeating a bumper sticker because that's what I do. My skill set. I see things on bumper stickers. I say them on the radio. Now, you are going to wrap things up today with a premiere, a new song.
Yeah.
And the title of it, I believe, sort of goes to everything you were just talking about.
Yeah, we, you know, over the last, we've been just troubled every time this band meets up to rehearse. It seems like someone's been killed by the police. And so we worked on this little song. And this will be our first time playing it together on a radio live.
All right.
Yeah.
I believe.
I believe.
Reverend Sekou and the Seal Breakers. Once again, the album is called In Times Like These. Here's Sekou and the Seal Breakers live on Soundcheck.
Hey! So I'm thinking about Jordan Edwards' folks. Hey! I'm just gonna say it. I believe
and rivers to cross. On a cold day in November, we thought all was lost. But deep down in my soul, I'm foolish enough to still believe. Hey,
I believe that we go win.
I believe It's been our honor and our pleasure to be here with you, Brother John. And we send our love down to Texas. Blessings on that family. Hey! I believe, I believe,
Reverend Sekou and the Seal Breakers live in the Soundcheck studio. The song is called I Believe. I believe we're going to win. The arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice, as Martin Luther King once said. Maybe he saw that on a bumper sticker somewhere, but it's poetry book. Sekou, you were talking before about the role of the artist in the time of monsters. That seems to me to be the role of art, is to put that feeling into people's hearts, that as dark as things are, you know.
I think our task is to, in the time of monsters, is to bear witness to the truth. What the ancient Egyptians would say, that we have come to bear witness to the truth and set the scales of justice in their righteous place among those who have no voice. And it's to remind people at the same time that they always have a voice. And I come from a people, when they could do nothing, they would sing their way out. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to sing songs of Zion until Babylon falls.
Sekou, it's been great having you and the band here with us on Soundcheck today. Congratulations on the new record, and thanks for playing for us.
Thank you, and thank you to the Seal Breakers.
Nice job, guys. This is Soundcheck.
Oh, when the spirits say move, you got to move. When the spirits say move, got to move.
You've been listening to an episode of the Soundcheck podcast from our archives. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see and hear much more on our website. Check it out at newsounds.org.
The Holy Ghost told me you got to move.